This Morning, America's First News starts right after this. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. Geico has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This Morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Latest government hacking victim, the CIA. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka on this Wednesday, March 8th. Glad you're with us. Here's what's up this hour.
WikiLeaks has released files that show how the CIA can turn smartphones into spy tools, capable of even reading encrypted messages from apps like Signal and WhatsApp.
With President Trump's allegations that he was hacked by the Obama administration, is presidential civility a thing of the past?
A charter bus carrying customers between casinos was struck by a freight train in Mississippi. Four people were killed, dozens hospitalized.
And anecdotal evidence that Americans are stepping up their volunteer efforts.
Well, a lot of people have been stepping up over the last year to volunteer. They feel like they want to do something, help people. I mean, some of them want to bridge that the whole divisive rhetoric from the election season, too. So it's a sense of, you know, they feel like I want to do something and I want to help. You know, what is it that I can do?
Wall Street Journal columnist Claire Ansberry on Americans answering the urge to volunteer. She's here later in the hour. A proposal to replace Obamacare is being criticized by Republican lawmakers, members of two House conservative caucuses, and at least three right-leaning GOP senators have publicized their unhappiness. That's on top of Democratic opposition from the likes of Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer.
Trump Care cuts taxes on the very wealthy while forcing average Americans to pay more.
Vice President Mike Pence, of course, is among the supporters.
More freedom, more flexibility, and also by returning resources and flexibility to the states that will allow them to reform Medicaid so it can more effectively meet the needs of our most vulnerable citizens.
Michigan GOP Congressman Justin Amash calls it Obamacare 2.0. A conservative group called FreedomWorks mocked it as Obamacare Lite, saying that proposed tax credits replacing current subsidies would amount to a new entitlement. To pass it, Republicans can't lose more than two GOP votes in the Senate and 22 in the House, assuming no Democratic support. The top Republicans investigating Russia's alleged interference in the U.S. election aren't supporting President Trump's claims that former President Obama wiretapped his Manhattan headquarters during the campaign. House Intelligence Chairman Devin Nunes, one of Mr. Trump's strongest supporters in the House and a member of his transition team, brushed aside the president's allegations. But he did say that former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn may have been wiretapped and that Mr. Trump had, quote, raised valid questions about how his aides were listened in on. Adam Schiff is ranking Democrat on the House Intelligence Committee.
The alternative is a different kind of a scandal, and that is a scandal of a sitting U.S. president alleging that his predecessor engaged in the most unscrupulous and unlawful conduct. That is also a scandal if those allegations prove to be false.
North Carolina Senator Richard Burr, the Intelligence Committee chairman, said he had not seen any evidence of Mr. Trump's claims. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell also said he had not seen any. Well, after a cordial transfer of power, President Trump and former President Obama have publicly criticized each other to an unusual degree, punctuated by Mr. Trump's claims that Trump Tower in New York was wiretapped by Mr. Obama's administration. With a deeper look, here's New York Times chief White House correspondent Peter Baker. Peter, set this up.
Well, listen, most presidents coming in and their predecessors aren't necessarily best of friends, right? A lot of them happen to either have beaten their predecessor or from the other party. But they usually try to ignore each other or at least, you know, have kind of a quiet tension. This is nothing quiet about this. You have outgoing president of the United States whose people have been very vocal from the very start, what they call the resistance, some of them call it, in criticizing some of President Trump's policies. And President Trump is convinced that some of these holdovers from the Obama administration are sabotaging him. But then he's taken this and gone nuclear with this allegation, unproven, that President Obama actually tapped his phones. And that's something, you know, the kind of likes of which we haven't seen in modern times.
Yeah. I guess in some ways, it might not be surprising, right? Because as you point out, back during the campaign, I mean, here's Mr. Obama calling Mr. Trump a con artist and a know-nothing, and Mr. Trump responding with Mr. Obama being the worst president in history. So was the foundation laid for something like this to happen?
Well, they certainly weren't on the same page, these two guys. Actually, they never even met in person until after the election, ironically, at that post-election meeting at the White House, where each of them put on a game face and pretended to be friends, or at least, collegial with each other. So, personality-wise, you couldn't find two different types of people. And policy-wise, too, you know, as Newt Gingrich said for this piece, Trump stands for everything. Trump promises, in effect, to disrupt everything Obama stands for. There's, in Obama's point of view, these are important values of the country, not just simple policy differences, so that there's a lot at stake. So, maybe it wasn't surprising that they would sort of come, they would come in conflict in some way or another, but it has happened with remarkable speed and with remarkable ferocity, especially after this last weekend's claim by President Trump.
You said in the piece that inside the Trump White House, it's an article of faith that people seated throughout the government by Mr. Obama have been leaking everything they can get their hands on to damage the new president. Why is that? Why is that feeling?
Well, look, they pick up the paper every morning, and for 6 weeks, they see all these kinds of things, including these draft executive orders that they have been working on but hadn't actually finalized yet, or these contacts with the Russians that are being written about. And so they are looking around the room and realizing these are not Trump people. Yet around them. He hasn't gotten most of his appointees in place yet for the jobs that are open to political appointments, and a lot of the jobs around him are civil service, which are not open to his political appointments, and the civil service is not, of course, thought to be particularly sympathetic to President Trump. So there's a great deal of suspicion about the people who are literally in the room with him, which is why, of course, they have been keeping some of these people out of the room, sometimes to their own detriment, because it means that they don't have some of the expertise that they could use in crafting some of these policies.
We're speaking with Peter Baker, chief White House correspondent at The New York Times. This piece is called Trump's Wiretapping Claims Puncture Veneer of Presidential Civility. To be fair, you point out, too, that right after Inauguration Day, some former Obama administration officials attend this women's march in Washington. They're on the TV talk shows. They're in op-eds. Talking about the new president's policies. Is that unheard of to kind of go on, attack on day one?
It may not be unheard of, but it goes against sort of what President George W. Bush, had sort of established just 8 years ago as his approach, which was he said, my successor deserves my silence. And a lot of the people around him, more or less, for at least a few months, basically took their cues from him and said, yeah, let's kind of lay off the new guy for a while, let him get his feet planted before we start to have a public debate about some of these things. Not everybody agreed with that. Vice President Cheney, in particular, was very outspoken in the early months of the Obama administration. But, in this case, the Obama people tell you, look, the stakes are too big here. This is not within the normal range of differences that we had with the Bush people, for instance, that this is a reckless president, and therefore we have an obligation to speak out from the beginning, particularly when we are being attacked by him, and when we have the right to defend ourselves. That's what they would say. What you hear from the Trump side is that they are under assault. That's the way they look at it, and they say that no other president has been subjected to this in such an intense way. Of course, it's all magnified by the proliferation of social media and all these different ways that people have now to get their views out there.
Thanks, Peter. Peter Baker, New York Times chief White House correspondent. 15 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Coming up next, the hacking of the CIA. Transition seamlessly from presentation to meeting and from work to home with the Dell Latitude 13 7000 series, the laptop that takes care of business. The powerful performance and incredible battery life from this reliable business-class PC featuring Intel Core processors lets small business employees do their best work wherever work takes them. Learn more at Dell.com/radio. That's Dell.com/radio. Thanks for being with us. The CIA has been hacked. WikiLeaks, which says it got files from a current or former agency contractor, says it's of similar significance to the National Security Agency documents released by Edward Snowden. Files showed secret ways the CIA can turn cell phones, TVs, and even cars into spy tools. More from this morning's Dave Duncan.
The documents appear to expose the design and capabilities of some of the most secretive cyber weapons used by the government. The Washington Post says the files mention pieces of malware with names like Assassin and Medusa, tools that the CIA uses to steal data from iPhones, seize control of Microsoft-powered computers, or even make internet-connected TVs secretly function as microphones. The breach raises new worries about the government's ability to safeguard its secrets. Gordon?
Thank you, Dave. The New York Times, by the way, says the leaks indicate that the CIA was even able to access the contents of encrypted messaging apps, too, like Signal and WhatsApp. Separately, the hack may pose an awkward security issue for President Trump. You'll recall Mr. Trump declared, "I love WikiLeaks," last October during a campaign rally when he read stolen emails about Hillary Clinton. This portion of the program is brought to you by Vistaprint. Vistaprint is all about supporting small business owners. They offer tons of custom products for home and office needs like business cards, postcards, flyers. It's so easy to personalize your business cards right on their website, Vistaprint.com. You can also get other marketing materials there for that professional look. You can even upload your logo to one of Vistaprint's designs for those business cards or upload your own design. Vistaprint guarantees you'll love your products. I want you to try them. So Vistaprint has a special offer for our listeners. 500 business cards starting at just $9.99. Just use the code DEAL at checkout. That's 50% off of regular site pricing. The quality is great. They're easy to customize, and you can't beat the price. 500 business cards for $9.99. Go to Vistaprint.com, design your custom business cards, then enter my code DEAL at checkout to get your 500 custom business cards, again, for just $9.99. It's a chance to get that professional look on any budget. Vistaprint.com with the code DEAL. It's 21 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
According to President Trump's nominee to be deputy attorney general wouldn't commit to appointing a special prosecutor to investigate any Russian interference in the presidential election, saying he wasn't in the job yet and didn't know all the facts needed to make a decision.
I'm willing to appoint a special counsel senator whenever I determine that it's appropriate based upon the policies and procedures of the Justice Department.
If confirmed, Rod Rosenstein, currently the U.S. attorney in Maryland, would decide the course of any Russian probe because Attorney General Jeff Sessions last week recused himself. Over the strong objections of key conservatives and Democrats, House Republican leaders are forging ahead with a health care plan that scraps major parts of the Obama-era overhaul. Two committees will convene what are expected to be marathon sessions today to start voting on the legislation. Speaker Paul Ryan is predicting it will pass the House.
Doing big things is never easy, but we have made a promise, and we're going to keep that promise.
But many fellow Republicans disagree. Ohio Governor John Kasich expressed deep doubts in a statement that took issue with congressional plans to curb Medicaid coverage. Biloxi, Mississippi Police Chief John Miller is calling it a terrible tragedy. Four people were killed when a freight train smashed into a charter bus carrying a group of Texans to one of the city's casinos.
It's a sad day. This is not something, you know, Biloxi is a place to come and have a good time. It's not a place where we have a lot of these types of things. Our crime rate here is very low, and something like this just, you know, we just something that we wish that we could have prevented it.
The bus apparently stopped on the tracks and was dragged for more than 300 feet down the tracks. 53 people were taken to hospitals. And Mark Zuckerberg is headed back to Harvard. This time, he'll be giving the commencement speech. Harvard says the Facebook CEO and Harvard dropout has been chosen to address students at a May 25th graduation ceremony. Zuckerberg left Harvard after his sophomore year to pursue his company.
Why did you guys bother finishing? Look what I did when I left early.
It'll be an interesting speech, right?
You guys wasted 2 years of your life.
Pursue your dreams.
23 minutes after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. You've heard about refinancing your mortgage to get a better rate to lower your monthly payments. But if things are tight or you have a higher rate than you think you should, why not consider refinancing your car loan? It is an option. More from Kelly Grant, consumer reporter at CNBC.com. Kelly, what do we have?
We always hear that consumers go into their auto purchases and they're not as well prepared as they should be. There was some new data out from Instamotor that they found that about half of consumers go in and they don't even know their credit score. And then even if people do feel like they know their score, maybe they don't shop around for financing so that they have some sense of what that score is really going to get them in the marketplace to know that they're getting a competitive rate.
Wow. Now, all the research that's available today, say on cars, which we go in seemingly pretty prepared for when it comes to buying, but we don't even know our own credit score.
Yep, and that money aspect is really important. I mean, of course, you know, in terms of preparation for the car itself, you know, you've got a lot of research to do there, and that often is the focus. But you really do want to make sure, especially these days when we see a lot of the auto loans, they have longer terms that might be on offer. You want to know that you're getting the most competitive rate for that you're getting the best set of terms for you, and that you have some understanding of, you know, what the consequence might be for something like a longer auto loan, for example. You could easily end up underwater on that, meaning that you owe more than the car is currently worth, because cars do depreciate.
Yeah. Why is it that that rates can vary, by the way?
Well, you're going to see some are more competitive than others. If you've got great credit, oftentimes the auto manufacturer, their financing is going to be the best deal. But if you've got that sort of middle to lower end credit score where, you know, there's, you know, you're not necessarily getting the absolute best rates. In a lot of cases, things like credit unions, national banks, even community and small banks could end up offering you a better rate than you would see at the dealership. Mm. So it's worth knowing where you stand and to be able to shop around and see if that's the case.
So, explain this idea then about refinancing your auto loan.
Yes, this is something that often goes under the radar for a lot of consumers. They're not even aware that this is something that they could do. But experts say it's actually pretty simple to do. It can be a process that takes you under an hour to, you know, shop around and secure a replacement loan. You just need to be aware and looking at all the details to know, are you eligible, and is this something that you might benefit from doing?
I'm speaking with Kelly Grant, consumer reporter at CNBC.com. Her piece is called, Did You Know You Can Refinance Your Auto Loan? If not, you're not alone. All right, so give us some more guidance on this one.
So there are a few cases where you definitely want to look at this. One would be if interest rates have dropped since you took out that auto loan. You'd also want to take a look at it just if you weren't sure that you got the best deal on your auto loan. If you feel like your rate was a little high, couldn't hurt to look and see what the current market is on that. You know, and you also would want to take a look at it if you're struggling, of course, with your payments. And this is one way to maybe cut that down a little bit. But you do need to be aware there are a lot of different rules depending on the different lenders. You know, it might be that they really want you to have a car that's worth a certain amount of money, so it might knock it out if you've got an older used car. Yeah. They might require you to have less than a set amount of miles on it, for example. And in some cases, they want to see that you've been making steady payments on that auto loan. So if you've been struggling with payments and you've missed one or two, you might find that you're not eligible for this.
Thanks, Kelly. Kelly Grant, consumer reporter at CNBC.com. 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Are you looking for a great wine at a great price? The solution is Cameron Hughes Wines. He's got a fascinating story. Cameron Hughes has relationships with these high-end wineries and producers all around the world, where he sources his wine and sells direct to you for much less than you'd pay under other labels. His wines deliver on price, value, and quality. Best price, best wine, quality guaranteed. The best part is Cam guarantees all his wines. If you're unhappy with any bottle you buy from him, he'll make it right. Now, Cameron Hughes doesn't typically offer discounts because his prices are so much less than retail, but he's offering our listeners a fantastic deal on your first order of three or more bottles. Free shipping on that order and a sommelier-grade corkscrew. Only if you go to chwine.com and use my code DEAL. The only way to get free shipping and your free sommelier corkscrew, go to chwine.com. chwine.com. Shop for your wine. Enter my code DEAL at checkout. Don't wait. It's a limited time offer. This wine is fantastic. The deal is phenomenal. And I want you to go online and order it today. Again, chwine.com with the code DEAL.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us on this Wednesday, March 8th. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. WikiLeaks publishes documents hacked from the CIA. Train and charter bus collision in Mississippi leaves four dead. The rocket company, founded by Jeff Bezos, has its first paying customer after 16 years. Singer Ciara poses pregnant and topless in Harper's Bazaar. Northern Kentucky qualifies for the NCAA tournament in its first year of eligibility. Dirk Nowitzki, the sixth player to score 30,000 points. And what to consider next time you hail a taxi. That story in about 20 minutes. We're almost halfway through the first 100 days of the Trump presidency, and for the president, boosting economic growth and creating more good-paying jobs will not prove easy. And University of Maryland business professor Peter Morici, who's also an economist, says Mr. Trump has promised a lot that will be difficult to accomplish because federal resources are limited. Peter, how so?
Well, I looked at these individual deals the president is making with companies like Ford, United Technologies, and so forth. And what we need in terms of jobs growth for Trump to meet his promises. You know, we've been creating about 185,000 jobs a month at best, and we need about another 100,000 if we're growing at 3.5 to 4%, then we're going to boost wages. That means he has to cut about 100 of these deals a month, because most of these deals only amount to, you know, 1,000 jobs, 2,000 jobs, so 50 deals a month. That's not possible. He needs to accomplish systemic reform. Twisting Ford's arm is not going to make America rich again.
Right. Is this just kind of, would this be considered part of the plan?
Absolutely. It is part of the plan. It is changing the perception of companies that what America thinks matters too. You know, to some extent, he's countering what goes on abroad. I'll give you a good example. Volkswagen, largest car company in the world, just about. They're doing a lot of restructuring, laying off people, and also tooling up for electric cars. In their home province, the provincial government, the Leander, along with the union, have more than half of the seats on the board of directors. That has a profound effect on where they make things.
Yeah.
It just does. I mean, essentially, the jobs cuts will mostly be someplace else. And the battery cells and the motors and so forth are going to be made, you know, at home. We don't have that kind of pressure. The Chinese do the same thing to companies in different ways through the joint venture structures and investment rules. We don't have those kinds of pressures on companies, and so we lose. And free trade agreements don't work when that goes on. And so to some extent he's saying you got to worry about what I think about as well. But that will only work as long as he maintains his credibility and accomplishes some kind of popularity. And what is most distressing is just how badly Bannon and Miller, the two Steves, can bumble even the simplest tasks. And they didn't get it right because, really, the three of them, along with Trump, are extraordinarily naive about the way Washington and government works. And guess what? They have to work with government, whether we're talking about immigration reform or creating jobs.
We're speaking with University of Maryland business professor Peter Morici, also an economist. He's written a piece called Beyond the Art of the Individual Deal. We've heard before about the structural issues with the job market in the U.S. What would you like to see done, say, aside from these deals or, you know, working with Congress on various things?
Well, we need real regulatory reform, and he just recently put out an executive directive that said, well, no more new regulations. No more net new regulations. For every new regulation you add, you got to take away two. That's nice, but it's very hard to take away regulations. Streamlining is difficult. You have to work the system. Most regulations require you to publish drafts and then put them out for public review and so on and so forth. You can't just strike them away with an executive order. Even those that were created by Mr. Obama by executive order are difficult to strike away once in place. To do that, he needs the cooperation of the agencies. And going around and firing the senior civil servants and harassing them is not the way to get it done. Right now, he's got a bureaucracy that's hostile to him. It's like taking over a big company. You know, if we made somebody the new CEO of General Motors and they just did not like the woman or the guy, how much do you think they would get done?
Thanks, Peter. Peter Morici, University of Maryland business professor. 21 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Hey, glad you're with us. There seems to be at least some anecdotal evidence that more Americans are making an effort to volunteer. But Wall Street Journal columnist Claire Ansberry says many don't know how to sustain that urge and then act on it. But there are growing opportunities to help, say, with refugees. Claire, explain.
Well, a lot of people have been stepping up over the last year to volunteer. They feel like they want to do something, help people. I mean, for some people, it's been sort of that call for citizenship. Others have been motivated by, seeing images of the refugee crisis. Some of them want to bridge that the whole divisive rhetoric from the election season, too. So it's a sense of, you know, they feel like I want to do something and I want to help. You know, what is it that I can do?
All right. So this is noticeable, really, in the last year. That's when the numbers have popped, seemingly.
Yeah, it has. And again, it's all anecdotal. I don't know of any study, but, you know, there have been various groups that say, you know, they've seen, like, since the election and even before that, you know, the numbers of volunteers, increase 50%. Now, that only may be, you know, 10 a week to 15 a week or, you know, double, you know, it's not thousands, but for them, it's a notable increase. And these are all sort of small agencies, too. And, so for them, it is significant.
All right. So you mentioned refugees. What opportunities are there, for example, if you wanted to help?
Well, there's a lot of small community-oriented resettlement programs. Things that people, and also churches, a lot of churches have outreach programs, and those who volunteer, they can do anything from help teach English as a second language, mentoring, some people who may not feel comfortable doing one-on-one because they're concerned about language barriers can help set up apartments. They can work phone banks, they can organize clothing drives, but other people want to be with people and actually take them to the grocery store, take them to a lot of doctor's appointments. A lot of when refugees come, they have to go to a lot of a doctor's appointments, and they may not speak the language. So it's a matter of getting them to the doctor with an interpreter and going over things. You know, I was talking to the head of one local resettlement program who said, just teaching people how to use the bus system is a huge hurdle.
Oh, yeah.
He said that, some people live 2 hours by bus, and they would come in on a bus with junk mail because they didn't know if it was important or not.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal columnist Claire Ansberry. She's written a piece called Answering the Urge to Volunteer. You point out, too, sometimes you have to follow through, right? You send an email or make a phone call and leave a voicemail. Sometimes it requires a little more than that from you.
Yeah, it does. I mean, we all have very busy lives, and, that urge, that, sort of immediate, I want to do something kind of fades as, family and work obligations pile up. So sometimes it may need the right timing. Things slow down at work, or you just decide, look, I'm just going to follow through on this and make that extra effort, because these agencies are strapped, too. And so you may not get a response right away.
Thanks, Claire. Ansberry, Wall Street Journal columnist. It's 13 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. By the way, reminder, we can connect on social media. You could friend us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter with the username at This Morning Show. If you like a little cynicism and sarcasm, you can follow me directly on Twitter at Gordon Deal. You don't often find the words business and friendly in the same sentence, let alone the same state, unless, of course, you're talking about Michigan. Michigan's business-friendly practices helped it become a leader in industries that range from agribusiness and cybersecurity to aerospace and defense. In fact, Michigan is ranked among the top 10 states for major new and expanded facilities, which makes Michigan more than business-friendly. It makes Michigan business smart. To learn more, visit michiganbusiness.org, because helping business grow is pure Michigan. Thanks for being with us. This portion of the program is brought to you by Blue Apron. Fresh, high-quality ingredients make a real difference, so it's important to know where your food comes from, right? We're happy customers of Blue Apron in the Deal House. Everything comes ready to go, pre-measured. We're eating well and, of course, saving time. I've got a 15-year-old and a 12-year-old who are very busy, so saving time is key for us. You get to choose from a variety of new recipes each week, or you can let Blue Apron's culinary team surprise you. On the menu this week, for example, spiced lentils and basmati rice with roasted sweet potato and coconut yogurt. And recipes are not repeated within a year, so you never get bored. If you want, you can even customize your recipes each week based on your preferences. Maybe you don't want fish one week. Blue Apron has several delivery options, too, so you can choose what fits your needs. And there's no weekly commitment, so you only get deliveries when you want them. And Blue Apron's freshness guarantee promises that every ingredient in your delivery arrives ready to cook. And the step-by-step instructions make it fun and easy, too, to teach the kids about the basics of cooking, or guys like me who really don't have any mastery of the basics of cooking. Get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/Gordon. You'll love the convenience, the tastes, the creativity. Again, your first three meals free plus free shipping by going to blueapron.com/Gordon. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
According to new documents released by WikiLeaks claim a CIA surveillance program has been snooping on everyday gadgets ranging from smart TVs to smartphones to cars. And the docs say the CIA spying program can take control of some of those devices so they can be used to record everyday conversations. WikiLeaks also says the spying effort could manage to evade current data scrambling encryption technology. The new Republican legislation to repeal and replace Obamacare is facing criticism from conservatives, which could imperil its chances of passage on the expedited schedule congressional leaders have set out. But House Speaker Paul Ryan guaranteed passage.
It delivers relief to Americans fed up with skyrocketing premiums and fewer choices. It moves us away from the broken status quo toward a better patient-centered system. That means lower costs for hardworking families.
Key conservatives attacked the bill for creating what they say is basically a new entitlement program. The top Republicans investigating Russia's interference in the election declined to back up President Trump's claims that President Obama wiretapped his Manhattan headquarters last year. When pressed on whether he believed Trump's allegations, House Intelligence Chairman Devin Nunes brushed aside the president's allegations.
As you all know, the president is a neophyte to politics. He's been doing this a little over a year. And I think a lot of the things that he says, you guys sometimes take literally.
Senate Intelligence Chairman Richard Burr says he had not seen any evidence of Trump's claims. The state of Hawaii is planning a legal challenge to the revised travel ban that President Trump signed Monday, setting up an immediate test for the new executive order. An attorney representing the state calls the new order flatly unconstitutional and illegal. Turns out the family stories were true. A 14-year-old boy in Denmark has unearthed a buried World War II warplane on his family's farm after recalling that his grandfather once told him a plane crashed there in 1944. The boy recently was given homework about the war and decided to comb the area with a metal detector. He and his father uncovered the engine from a German fighter, munitions, books, a wallet, and bones of a crew member. A museum has been called in to take care of the findings.
Wow. That's unbelievable.
Isn't that amazing?
Well, you know, he's 14. So that kid, having heard stories, was paying attention.
He did.
Right?
He acted on it.
Wow. Very good. Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Time for a health and wellness update, and it's brought to you by Walgreens. With expert pharmacy care from Walgreens, diabetes won't slow you down. Stop by to get the medications you rely on and supplies from all the major brands. Walgreens at the corner of Happy and Healthy. This may change the way you think about services like Uber or taxis that are a color other than yellow, at least in Singapore. A new study says yellow taxis are involved in fewer accidents than blue ones because yellow is more visible. An analysis of millions of detailed taxi, driver, and accident information over a 3-year period from Singapore's largest taxi company found yellow taxis were involved in 9% fewer accidents than blue ones. Yellow taxis are more noticeable than blue ones, right? Especially when they're in front of you. It's why buses in the U.S. are bright yellow, right? Hope they didn't pay too much for this study. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for listening, and we'd love to hear from you. Leave a review and comment for us on iTunes. For more from This Morning Show, check us out at thismorningwithgordondeal.com.